Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Zayin, and we are four lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Alisa. So the sugya of Taruvos. We're all familiar with the halacha of Roiv. If there's a Safik and Bezdin's not sure how to be Machria the Safik, there are many things they can use at their disposal to try to figure out exactly what happened. One of those things is Roiv, meaning Beis Din has a right to assume that what happened is what is the more statistical probability. It's learned out from a pasuk in the Torah. It says in Parshas Mishpatim, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. If a court judgment is brought in front of a Beis Din, and there are several Dayanim sitting on the Beis Din, at the end of them doing what they need to do, they take a vote. Whatever the majority of the Dayanim think happened, that's what we assume happened. It's because we have a right to assume Roiv. So if Roiv of the Dayanim think that somebody is Chayev, we'll assume that person's Chayev. If Roiv of the Dayanim think that the person is Zakai, we're going to assume that the person is Zakai. It's based on the concept of Roiv. It's something that permeates Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. It comes up in Seyedin Hashem as well, Masechtas Kedushin, and Gittin, and Yevamis, and Ksubis. It's one of the most basic fundamental principles in the Torah, and that is that when there's a suffix lefanenu, we have a right to utilize the majority, and Roiv is machria the suffix. Stating that, there are many different types of Roivs. There's a concept of ruboi kekuloi, which says that if I do the majority of something, it's as if I did the entire thing. So there's a mitzvah to drink a revius. What if I drink Roiv of a revius, a maloi lugmav? That's going to be considered as if I drank the revius. Why? Because being that I did Roiv, ruboi is kekuloi. Now, in that case, there's no suffix. There's no question what I did or didn't do. We know exactly what I did. I drank the majority of the revius, stating that the law of Roiv says that if I drank Roiv of the revius, it's as if I drank the entire revius. That halacha of Roiv, although it has nothing to do with Safik, is also learned out from Achri Rabim Lahatis. There's another halacha of Roiv, and that's the one that we're going to go into right now, and that's the halacha of Bittul B'Roiv. So what's Bittul B'Roiv? Bittul B'Roiv says that if you have a taruvos, you have a mixture of things, and within this mixture, this Isser and this Heter. The halacha is, we say that the Dover Mu'et in this mixture is bottle to the Dover Roiv in this mixture, and rather than viewing this mixture halachically as if it's made up of Isser and Heter, we look at it 100% as if it is whatever the Roiv is. So if Roiv of this mixture is Heter, and only a Miat of this mixture is Isser, even though technically you should see in this mixture Isser and Heter, the Halach is only going to see Heter. Because Roiv tells me that the Dover Mu'et is bottle to the Roiv, and as a result, all I'm going to see is whatever the Roiv is. And if the Roiv is Heter, then all I'm going to have in this Taruvos is going to be Heter. Now, this idea of Bittul B'Roiv comes in two shapes and sizes. There's what's referred to as a Taruvos Yovish B'Yovish and a Taruvos Lach B'Lach. Taruvos Yovish B'Yovish is you have three pieces of meat. Two of them are kosher meat, one of them is not kosher. They all look the same, they're all hamburgers, they all got mixed up. You have no way of knowing which is the kosher one and which is the non-kosher one. Thus, you have a Taruvos. Taruvos meaning you have a mixture. I don't know what is what. It's made up of Isser and Heter. The majority is Heter, because two out of the three is Heter. The minority, one out of the three is Isser. We don't say that I have Mutter and Aser, thus, me Suffolk, I can't eat it. To the contrary. What we say is Bittul B'Roiv. We say the one that's Isser becomes bottle to the two that are Heter. As a result, I have three kosher hamburgers. I'm allowed to eat all three. Now, does Machlokes Rishonim if I'm allowed to eat all three in one shot? Or do I have to eat them B'Zeach HaZeh? Machlokes Rosh and Rajba. And it goes into the kishkas of the lumdus of exactly how Bittul B'Roiv works. We're going to get to that. But high level, there's an idea of a taruvos where it's Yavish B'Yavish. Three things aren't even touching each other. They're just all in front of me. I don't know which one is which. The halacha is we say Bittul B'Roiv. Another example of taruvos, another example of a taruvos of Isser v'Heter is where it's lach balach, and that is when you have a mixture of things, where you have Isser and you have Heter, and they're all combined into one. So for example, you have a pot of kosher meat that's sitting on a stove. There's It's hot, it's cooking, and somebody took a little bit of non-kosher food and he put it into this pot that has kosher food in it. Right now, it's all going to be mixed together because as the food cooks, it disintegrates into each other. So now you have a taruvah, not of yavish b'yavish, but you have a taruvah lach b'lach, where the things are actually becoming one. Or if you took a little bit of chicken soup, kosher chicken soup, and you mix it with non-kosher soup, and now you have literally one taruvah. You took yayin nesach, and you mix it with kosher wine. It's a taruvah. It's all one. It's taruvah slach balach. It's a mixture. It's not just the taruvahs in the sense, I don't know which is which. They actually became one. There too, you have the same exact halacha, bittul b'roiv. And we say that if roiv of this taruvah slach balach is heter, and only a miyat of this taruvah is iser, we say that the dover muet is going to be bought to the davar asa. How do I know this halacha? How do I know bittul b'roiv? Whether it's a taruvah is lach balach, or whether it's a taruvah is yavish b'yavish, it's also learned out from achrei rabim lahatis, which again, at first glance, seems to be tsarach bir, because achrei rabim lahatis, the Torah's example of roiv, is something very different. It's a case where I don't know. We don't know. Did Ruvein kill Shimon? Take a vote. You have 23 dayanim. If 13 of them say he killed him, 10 of them say he didn't kill him, so we know he killed him. Now, we don't really know, but we'll assume the roiv because that's what the Torah says. Achri rabim lahatlis. So that's a good binyanav, a good mamatzinu, that every time we have a suffix, we could assume roiv. So we can take statistical probability into consideration when it comes to ascertaining circumstantial evidence when a bezdin is convening or even a person in his kitchen, he could use roiv to be machriya. But that's all where I have a suffix and I'm using the roiv to be machriya suffix. The halachas of rubei kekulai, or what we need, the halachas of bittul b'roiv, again, have nothing to do with suffix. It's not that the roiv is being machriya the suffix. That's not what's going on. There's no suffix. We know this isser and we know this heter. Roiv is not telling me there's no isser. What roiv is saying is that even though I know this isser the heter, but there's a concept called roiv where the dover muet becomes bottle, it becomes tuffle to the dover haroiv. As a result, we don't see isser the heter. All we see is heter. If all we see is heter, it's for that reason the entire taruvos is going to be mutter. Stating that, there's a very important caveat. A caveat that permeates the entire shas, this dafin and dafin of Gemara that are verbatim, word for word, that appear a few times. Mesachtes Psochim, Mesachtes Avod Zara, Mesachtes Nazar, a little bit of Mesachtes Chulin. That is, if you have a taruvos lach balach, even if the taruvos is such, where roiv of the taruvos is at there, and only a miut of the taruvos is aser. To the extent that you can taste the miut of iser, we say that the taruvos is going to be aser. I mean, even though we just said that we learn from achrei rabim lahatlis, that if I have a taruvos of iser veheter, we go baser roiv. So if roiv of the taruvos is heter, we don't care that a miut of the taruvos is iser. We would say the entire taruvos is going to be mutter. But there's a very important caveat, and that is that if I could taste the dover ha'aser, that's enough to say that I'm not going to be able to eat from this taruvos. It's what's referred to in Shas as tam ke'ikr, meaning I don't have the ikr right now of this dover ha'aser because the ikr technically is batel. But what I do have is I have the tam. I can taste the dover ha'aser. And as long as I can taste the dover ha'aser, that's enough for this taruvah to be aser. Now the truth is, the halacha of tam ke'ikr is mentioned throughout Shas. One of the more important memories in the sugi of tam ke'ikr is in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Samech Tes, where Rabbi Yochanan said, Ta'amoy u'ma mashoy, if you have a tam ke'ikr, where it's ta'amoy u'ma mashoy, there the halacha is, it's Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Zayin, Aser v'loikin olav. If it's tamoy v'loy mamashoy, then it's aser, but v'ein loikin olav. Which seems to suggest that there's two types of tam ke'ikr. There's a tam ke'ikr where it's tamoy u'mamashoy, and there's a tam ke'ikr where it's tamoy v'loy mamashoy. What's the difference between tamoy u'mamashoy, tamoy v'loy mamashoy? I wish there was a simple answer. It's very confusing. Rashi says, big chedushim in the Masechtas Avodah Zarah. The Rishonim argue with Rashi over there. So that's something that's very confusing, not something that we have to get into right now. But for now, what we're going to discuss is where it was tamoy v'loy mamashoy, and a classic example of tamoy v'loy mamashoy would be where you cooked a dover aser together with a dover mutter. After it cooked for an hour, let's say, you removed the dover aser. So right now, the mamashoy, the dover aser that cooked together with the dover mutter, it didn't completely dissolve together with the kosher food that you were cooking it in. You removed it, some of the plitos, something
came out, some flavor for sure was emitted from this davar asr when it was cooking with the davar mutter. But the point is that the davar asr itself was removed. And being that the davar asr itself was removed, what we look at it is if it be tamei v'lei mamashe. Pashat, the tamei mamashe would be where you took the davar asr, you literally disintegrated it and you poured it in with the davar hamutter. Problem is Rashi doesn't say that in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. But for now, what we're focusing on is not tamei umamashe, in what Rabbi Yochanan said in Masechtas Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Zayin, we're referring to tamoy v'loy mamashay, where all I have is tam, and this is clear, a case where you cook the davar asr together with the davar mutter, that's always going to be tamoy v'loy mamashay. Stating that, tamoy v'loy mamashay is what's referred to as tam ki ikar. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's tam ki ikar, but even though it's tam ki ikar, asr, they ain't like an old. Rashi, in Daf Tzadik Chesam at Beis, that's tomorrow's Daf, says, that being that Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody eats a taruva, Isser veheter, where you could taste the davar asr, what's referred to as tam keiker, where it's tamay v'loy mamasha, because you removed the mamasha. It's just some of the platas that came out of this davar asr, some of the flavor, some of the tam that came out while it was cooking together with the davar mutter. But you removed it, so it's tamay v'loy mamasha. It's asr v'ing legan olav. You know what that means? It means it's not asr m'day raisa. And Rashi says a very big chiddush, and the Rambam says the same thing. That even though throughout Shas we know there's something called tam keiker is asr, but it's asr m'day rabbanan. It's not asr m'day raisa. M'day raisa, the Davar Hamuet is always going to be batal beroiv. Aye, tam keiker? Tam keiker is a dinder rabbanon. But midday raisa, there's no such thing as tam keiker. How do I know that, says Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, asr vein loikin olav. If it's asr midday raisa, why ain't loikin olav? L'chur, if you cook nevela together with kosher meat, and now there's a tam of nevela, and you eat it, you should get malchus for eating the tam of nevela. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said there's no malchus, that's just another way of saying that it's not asr m'day raisa. Stating that, Tosfos argues, Rabbeinu Tam argues, and Tosfos asks a bomb kasha on Rashi. He says, I don't know how Rashi could say tam ki ikar is not m'day raisa. There's so many gemaras that bring a makar to tam ki ikar. In fact, the Gemara brings several makaras to tam ki ikar. We'll mention two. The Gemara says, it says that a nazir is not allowed to eat grapes, not allowed to drink wine. He's also not allowed to drink mishras anava. That means if you took grapes and you soak it in water, it sits in water for an extended period of time, the nazir now is not allowed to drink that liquid. Why? He's not drinking wine, and he's not eating grapes. It's because when you soak the grapes in the water, tam of the grapes emits into the water, and tam ki ikar says, Tosfos, doesn't that sound like it's a din d'oraisa? It's not that from a pasuk. It says in the Torah, mishras anav. Tosfos, there's another makar. The Gemara says that now you know tam ki ikar is asr. It's learned out from Geulei Midyan. In Parshas Matos, after the Yidden fought against Midyan, this was revenge for what Midyan had done to the Yidden with the Zaynas and with Bilam in the end of Parshas Pinchas. So what happens is, Hashem tells the Yidden that you could take all the kelim you want, you could take the whole kitchen, but at the same time, you have to kasher the kelim. Why do you have to kasher the kelim? Because they've been using it to cook their non-kosher food. And when you cook food, blios, taste, emits from the food, and it even enters the walls of the utensils that the food was cooked in. Thus, you have to have two sets of pots in your kitchen, for dairy and for meat. What's the svara? The svara is because when you cook meat, so you now have blios, you have tam ki ikar, so to speak, of the flesh that you cooked inside these pots. But these are psukim in the Torah, where Hashem told Moshe, tell the Yidden, go ahead and kasher the pots. If Rashi's right, that tam ki ikar is not midei raisa, and tam ki ikar is only midei rabbanon, then l'chaira, how do you have a parsha in the Torah that's talking about kashering? This should all be on the rabbinic level. Most rabbanans came about by Yesheni time. Why are we talking about tam kicker in the Torah? When you're Mava Sedra, you're learning about tam kicker. Says Tosfos, this is clear that tam kicker is the raisa. Bottom line, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi holds tam kicker. It's also the Rambam Shita is the rabbanan. Tosfos Shita is that tam kicker is the raisa. Stating that, Tosfos says, what about Rashi's kasha? Rabbi Yochanan said that tamoy v'loy mamasha is also vein loikinov. And Rashi felt that from the fact that there's no malchus for tam kikr, that's a raya must be that it's not also m'day raisa. So Frank Tosfos, how are you going to answer this kasha? And Tosfos, here in Masechtas Chulin, gives a few terutzim to this kasha. Tosfos says, first of all, just because something doesn't have malchus doesn't mean it's not also m'day raisa. Chatzi shir toichiach. Chatzi shir is also m'day raisa. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. At the same time, there's no einish, there's no malchus if somebody eats a chatzi shir of a davar aser. But there's one teretz Tosfos says b'shem Rabbeinu Tam that's brought down in halacha, and that's the last thing we need for this introduction. And then it says Rabbeinu Tam that even though I hold Tam ke'ikus deiraisa, stating that it's not always deiraisa. It depends. It depends on the nature of the mixture. If the davar aser and the davar hamutter are two different things, they're two different minim, then tam ke'ikur is going to be deiraisa. And that's what's learned out from Mishras Anavim, grapes and water. And that's what the concern was with the Geulei Midian. That's why the Yidden had to kasher their pots after the war against Midian. But that's because we were concerned about a tam ke'ikur where the davar mutter and the davar aser were two different minim. Two completely different ingredients. If, however, the davar aser and the davar mutter are the same, it's min b'minoi. Over there, says Tosfos, says Rabbeinu Tam, I agree that tam ke'ikur is not going to be awesome with the raisa, but rather tam ke'ikur is only going to be awesome with the rabbanon. Zok Tosfos, where Rabbi Yochanan said, tamay v'loy mamashoy, the halach is aser v'en loikinov, he was referring to a taruvais of min b'minoi. And by a taruvais of min b'minoi, I agree. Tam kik is only going to be awesome with the rabbanon. When is tam kik awesome with the raisa? That's where it's min b'she'inei minoi. But where it's min b'minoi, there it's going to be only awesome with the rabbanon. So what's the bottom line? As it relates to the halachos of tam ke'ikur, if it's a taruvais min b'minoi, everybody agrees it's only awesome with the rabbanon. If it's a taruvais min b'she'inei minoi, it's machlokes rishonim. Rashi and Chulin, Dav Tzadik Ches Amud Beis holds that tam Ke'ikur is only us, is always awesome at the Rabbanon, even where it's a min b'she'ena mine. Those drushes of Mishras Anavim, they're all asmachtos ba'alma. But being that Rabbi Yochanan said, tamoy v'loy ma'mashay aser v'en loikin olav, that means that tam ke'ikur is only awesome at the Rabbanon. It's also the Rambam shitas. You have Rashi and the Rambam, the Mefarish and the Poisek, who both said that tam ke'ikur is only aser midrabanan, even min b'she'ena minay. Tosfos argues, Tosfos says, tam ke'ikur, where it's min b'she'ena minay, is going to be aser midai raisa. What's the halacha? And this is important. The Mechaber in Yerideya Simit Sadik Ches, Sif Kotam Beis, Paskins, like Tosfos. Not like Rashi and the Rambam, but rather like Tosfos. In other words, if you have a taruva, it's min b'minay, then tam ke'ikur is only going to be awesome at the Rabbanon. If you have a taruvos of min b'she'enoi minoi, then tam ke'ikur is going to be aser mid da'oi raisa. L'may nafki mino. Let's say you had a taruvos, and before you had a chance to figure out whether there was tam or there wasn't tam, it was nishbach. If it's a taruvos min b'minoi, you have a sofik d'rabbanon. Sofik d'rabbanon l'kula. If it's a taruvos min b'she'enoi minoi, then you can have a sofik d'raisa. Sofik d'raisa is l'chumah. This is a very important introduction. It underpins a lot of what we're going to learn about in the next 3 weeks. This last piece, the fact that we paskin, like Tosfos, the tam ke'ikur is awesome d'raisa, but only where it's a min b'she'enoi minoi. Like Rabbeinu Tam, not where it's a mimimina, it's also very important. It's important when you look at tshuvas and you go through the light of the psak halacha. We're very meko when it comes to a taruvais mimbiminoi. We're very machmer when it comes to a taruvais mimbishainiminoi. Because in one case, we're dealing with a deiraisa. Deiraisa, you always have to be machmer. The other case, we're dealing with a drabanon. Drabanon, you're allowed to be meko. There's a concept of a suffix drabanon lakula. But this is all where you have a taruvais of iser veheter. And there's tam. So even though there's roif heter versus the miyut of iser, but as long as the miyut of iser is being noisein tam, that's enough to say that there's going to be a problem. So much so that according to Tosfos, which is the halacha, that if it's a min b'she'enei minoi, the taruvus is going to be awesome in the rice. So how do you know if something's noisein tam? So if you have a taruvus of a heter, how do you know if it's noisein tam? You can't taste it because maybe it's noisein tam. If you taste it, then you're going to be eating something that you're not allowed to eat. So what do? So that, of course, is going to be today's daf. I think it's kedai to go through the Mishnah that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf again quickly and go right into a really, really festive daf. Today's daf has a lot of yesoidas. A lot, I counted, like 10 yesoidas as it relates to basic Hilchas Taruvos 101. Zok de Mishnah, Yerech Shen Espashel Bav Gidan Osho. If somebody cooked the thigh of an animal and he didn't remove the Gidan Osho, so we know the Gidan Osho is Aser Ba'achilo, Al-Kein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael, Es Gidan Osho. The Yerech itself is Mutter. You have to do Nikur. Maybe we don't do Nikur today, but you're supposed to remove the Gid from the Yerech. He didn't do that. And he now cooked them together. So essentially, he cooked a davar aser and a davar mutter together. What's the halacha? In yesh b'benoyis and tam, harezu asur. Oh, now we know what that means. What do you mean? There's more kosher than non-kosher in this taruvos. There's more yerech than there is gid. The gid is one vein. It's a nerve. That's all it is. It's a sinew. So what's the big deal? You certainly have a right. That's true, you have a right. But the halacha is when you have a taruvos of lach b'lach, two things were cooked
together, you have to make sure that the Dover Usser is not being nice and tam. Incidentally, if you remember, the Gemara right in the beginning of Perakid Hanasha brought a raya from this Mishnah, that the Stam Mishnah in Perakid Hanasha is of the opinion that Yesh Begidin Benois and Tam. Because really it's a machloikis in Shas, whether the Gid Hanasha is even capable, halachically speaking, to emit flavor. Is it an eitz ba'alma, or do we look at it as if it's actually food? Regardless, it's also, the Torah says he's not allowed to eat the gidanasha. But from a halachic, from a iser veheter, from a yoredeya perspective, do we look at the gid as if it's capable of emitting tam or not? That's a discussion in the Gemara. From the fact that we say, the Gemara said, that's a raya? That's a raya that the time of the Mishnah holds, yesh begid benoisim tam. Ketzim esharanoi. So how do you quantify whether there is tam or there's not tam? So Pasha, you would say, how do you always quantify whether something has time or not? But here is a very interesting teretz, a very big kiddush, kibasabal efes. Rashi says, this is from the shiurim that were nemra halacha l'moshe misinai, meaning there really isn't a good reason for why we do it this way, other than the fact that this is the Messiah. This is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. What we do is we look at the gid as if it's meat. We look at the yerech as if it's turnips. We ask ourselves, if you had this ratio of meat to turnips, would it be nois and tam or not? If the answer is yes, harezu asura. If the answer is no, then it's going to be mut. Gidanosh and espashal magid. If you cook gidanosh together with other gid, if you recognize which gid is the gidanosh benois and tam, then the halacha is you remove the gidanosh and whether or not you're allowed to eat the other gidim is dependent on whether the gidanosh was enough, proportionate to the other gidin to be nice and tam. The im lav, if you can't recognize which gid is the gid anash, then they're all going to be asr. V'haroitiv, what about the roitiv? That's the sauce, that's the soup, that's the liquid that it was cooking in. That's always going to be nice and tam. If the gid was able to be nice and tam, then the roitiv is going to be asr. If it wasn't able to be nice and tam, it's going to be motiv. Same is true if you have a piece of nevelo, you have a piece of non-kosher fish. Shem is bashful, is that we cook together with kosher fish or kosher meat. If you recognize which piece of meat or fish is not kosher, you remove it, been nice and tam. And as it relates to the other pieces, so again, if it's nice and tam, the other pieces are going to be us. If it's not nice and tam, the other pieces are not going to be us. And if you can't recognize which is which, kulan asurois, misafik, they're all asur. The haraitiv ben nice and tam. And as it relates to the raitiv is going to be ben nice and tam. Incidentally, the Mishnah says if you can't recognize which gid is the gid anasha, or you can't recognize which chaticha is the one that's non-kosher, so all of them are asur. And we keep on saying it's pashit, because misafik, how you let eat it? You don't know which one's the gid anoshes. How could you take a gid and eat it? It's not so simple. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask a kasha on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Why don't you say that the non-kosher gid, the gid anosha, and the kosher gidin are now in a taruvois of yavesh biyavesh, and taruvois yavesh biyavesh is batel. And over here, you don't have the halacha of tam ke'iker. Tam ke'iker is when you have a taruvois of lach belach, where the two things actually merged, they became one. But when you have a taruvois of biyavish biyavish, you have the halach of achri rabim lahatois of bitol beroiv, and you don't have a problem with tam ke'iker. So why is it so pashut in the Mishnah that if you don't know which gid is the gid anosh, oh, you have to get rid of all of them? Why? Sofik. No, it's not a sofik. Isn't this achri rabim lahatois? It's the Gemara's kasha. Either way, the first halach of the Mishnah, yerech shenes bashil ba gid hanosh. Someone took the hindquarters of the animal, he took the thigh, where the gid hanasha is, he throws it into a pot, boiling water, he's making a chicken soup, a stew, or making some sort of food, and now he realizes he didn't take out the gid hanasha. So what's the issue? What's the halacha? And we have a formula that was handed down to us from Sinai. How you figure out this formula? You view the gid as if it's basar, you view the yerech as if it's turnips, and we ask ourselves, if this was flesh and turnips, would it be nice and tam? If the answer is yes, it's going to be a problem. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel made a very important diyuk in the Mishnah. Lo yishanu, the halacha in the Mishnah is only true. Shenis bashoba. The lashon of Mishnah was yerech shenis bashoba gidanosh avol mitzloba. But what if it wasn't cooked together, but merely roasted together? So it wasn't immersed in water in a pot on a stove. You cooked it, you grilled it together. Then the halacha is, then you don't have this halacha. Then we don't say that the gid is noisein tam into the yerech, and unless you're able to be mevatel v'tam
of the gid by the yerech using the formula of kabasa belefes, it's going to be aser. There the halacha is, the gid remains aser as it relates to the yerech is mutter. In fact, koilei fa'eichel, you can cut, you can chop, you can hack, you can peel, ad shemagi l'gid, up until the gid, you're allowed to eat. Meaning there's a fundamental difference when it comes to issa v'heter between cooking and roasting. If you cook two things together, so then already you need a shear of nois and tam. If, however, you're roasting two things together, then there's no halacha of nois and tam. And the reason for it is very simple. When you cook two things together, the fact that they're immersed together in water makes physically the flavor of the davar aser distribute into all of the davar mutar. So as a result, you have a problem because now the tam of the gid, yesh begidim benois and tam, is going to be distributed amongst the entire yerech. What distributes it amongst the yerech? So Rashi says the roitev. It's the liquid that it's cooking in. But the point is that being that they're together in a pot, they're cooking together, so now the tam is going to be distributed. Being that it's going to be distributed, so now you have a kula and a chumra really, but most notably a chumra, because the tam of the davar aser is going to distribute into all of the davar mutter. When two things are being roasted side by side, there's no roitiv, there's no agent that's distributing the tam of the davar aser. As a result, you don't have the salacha. What is the halacha? Koylech va'oichel atchim agil again. The simple reading of the Gemara sounds like everything is mutter, meaning the gid was always aser, and the yerech, nothing happened to the yerech. The yerech is good. Stating that, Tosfos says, the lav dafka ad shemagia legid mamish. That even though from the Gemara it sounds like you can eat the entire yerech, you can literally eat up until the gid. It's not true. And Tosfos says, based on the Gemara, Masechtas Psachim, and this is really Taruvais 101, and that is that even though when you roast a davar aser and a davar mutter, it's not the same as cooking, but at the same time, we do say that a little bit of the davar aser spreads outside of the davar aser into the davar mutter. How little? Either a kidei klipa or kidei netila. Kidei klipa, klipa is a shell, it's a peel. So it's not very thick. The thickness of a peel, which is very, very thin, which would mean that when you roast this yerech together with the gid, you would at the very least have to remove a little bit of the yerech. Yeah, no, kidei klipa, but it's something. That much you would have to remove. What Taisa says, based on the Gemara Psacha, maybe it's a little bit more, it's a kidei netila, which is the width of an etzba. So that's already a little more. But the bottom line is, the Lashon HaGemara sounds like koylef oichlachem yigil again, says Taisa, it's lav dafka. Because even though tzli is not bishul, but kidei klipa, kidei netila, something of the yerech, of the davar mutter, you would have to remove. But regardless, Gemara asks the kasha, is that true? Is it true that there's a difference between cooking and roasting? Eini v'amar Rav Huna said, Gedi shetzala b'chel boy. What would be if somebody took a gedi and he roasted it and he never removed, not the gedan asha, he never removed the chelev. So we know there's four chalavim in an animal that are not kosher. Chai v'krisus. So what happens if somebody roasted a gedi together with its chelev? Asur lechol, you're not allowed to eat the gedi, afilu meroish oizna, even the tip of its ear. Even the ear of the gedi, you're not allowed to eat. Now, there's no way that the head of the chelev that you're concerned, that's the davar aser in this taruvos, get to Rosh Hashanah. Must be, like the Mishnah says, Yerech shen espashel v'gid anasho, im yesh bebe nois and tam, we always assume that the davar aser is going to spread. But if Shmuel is right that that's only true if it was cooked, lo yishon v'lo shen espashel v'avon nitzleba, koi l'vaychol, in the worst case scenario, you should have to remove, in this case, a g'day klip or a g'day netila, like Tosfos says. But how is it possible that even the Rosh Hashanah is going to be aser? That's way beyond the g'day klip or the k'tein atila. Elamai, what do you see from Rav Huna? You see that there's no difference between bishul and tzli. Says the Gemara, no. Shani chelev de mefafeya. Rav Huna was talking about roasting gedi with its fats. Shmuel was talking about roasting a yerech with its gedan asha. The gedan asha is not fat. It's nothing. And being that it's a gid, ba'alma, it has no way of spreading. Chelev is different. The fat of the chelev spreads. It's mefafeya. Mevatzveitz v'hilech. It's what it sounds like it means. Umespashet b'chol ha'basar mefafeya. It's like a fleshy word. So it spreads throughout the meat. And as a result, there it even can go to the Rosh Hashanah. Meaning it's Rishmu, when he said by tzli it doesn't spread, it didn't mean every case. He didn't mean every taruvah says v'hat. He was talking about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is discussing a yerech shen espashet v'gidan asha. B'nei nechinami, if you'd be at tzli with its chelev, shani chelev mefafeya. Wait, the Gemara with chelev asar. Is that true? We always assume chelev spreads from a rabbi by Rechano. There was a story that happened, a Maisa Shahoya Kachoya, in the times of Rabbi Yochanan. It happened in the Knishta, in the Beis HaKnesses of Ma'oin. What was the story? A Shaila was brought. Bigdi Shatzala B'chelvoy. Somebody did this. Real story. He roasted a gdi together with the tzchelim. V'asu v'shailu the Rabbi Yochanan. And they asked the question to the God of Ador. What do you do? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan said, koy l'foich l'achapakir l'chalvay. Oh, he roasted it? He passed in like Shmuel's halacha. He said, just cut it up until the chalev. So what do you say? You don't say shani chalev dimefafeh. So it's a kashan Rafuna. Rafuna said, gdi shetzol l'chalvay, asu lechal afil l'mereish aznoi. I mean, Rafuna's going keneged the g'doyli amirah. Not like Shmuel. So we thought maybe he's not contradicting Shmuel. But it's Mefurish Rabbi Yochanan. Same exact halacha. Not Yerech Shen Espashu B'Gid Anasha. He was also talking about a Tzli B'Chelvoy. So Rav Huna was talking about a Gedi B'Chelvoy. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a Gedi B'Chelvoy. Rav Huna said, Gedi Shetzolah B'Chelvoy, Aso Lecha Lafilu Mereish Aznoi. Why? I only roasted it. Kshani Chelev de Mefafeya. And Rabbi Yochanan, in the same exact shayla, the shayla was a gedi shetzolah b'chelvoy, and what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Koy l'voich, l'atcha megiyah l'chelvoy. Says the Gemara, three terutz. The first terutz is ahu kachashav. That Rabbi Yochanan's case was talking about an animal that was kachash. Rashi doesn't say what kachash means. Taisus says two pshatim. One pshat Taisus says, short Taisus, the fire Rabbeinu Tam, the ersh the bright the shira, the first wide line, kachash hava, v'lokach shari, the chel of kachash enem mefaveya. It was a lean animal. And a lean animal's fat is leaner as well. So when we say shani chel de mefaveya, that's a zaftige animal. But if you have a leaner animal, then you don't have that halacha. V'oide shloim matayis says a different shot. Maybe kachash hava means v'yesh by ma'at chelav batal b'shisha. It means there wasn't that much chelav. And the little bit of chelav that there was batal. So it's true the chelav was mefafeya, but he held it was batal. I mean that he held it was batal, that's why it was okay. But either way, you have to say there was a difference between the Mitzius of the Chelev in Rav Huna's case and the Mitzius of the Chelev in Rabbi Yochanan's case. That's the first answer. Rav Huna by Yehuda Amar said a different terutz. Kulya bechel v'habi. The case of Rabbi Yochanan was where the person had cooked the kidneys together with the Chelev. What's the difference if it's the kidneys? Because the kidneys we had earlier, there's a crumb, there's a membrane that separates the kidney from its chelev. Being that there's a membrane that separates it, it obstructs the chelev from being able to be mefafeya. So it's true, shani chelev the mefafeya. But there is an exception to that rule, and that's the fats that are on top of the kidneys. Why can't it be mefafeya because of that membrane? That's what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. And Achinam, Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna. Had it been other parts of the chalavim, he would have agreed that shani chel of the mefafeya, and it would spread even to the ears of the animal. But as it relates to this particular chelev, it doesn't really get going too far because of this membrane that's obstructing it. Rav Barada said a third pshat, and his pshat's a total game changer. He said, Rabbi Yochanan, that wasn't the shayla. Whoever said over this shayla said over the wrong shayla. They didn't come to Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis HaKnesses in mind and tell him there's a yid that roasted a gdi together with its chelev. What's the halach? Wasn't the shayla? The shayla was kilchas b'ilfazava. Somebody had taken non-kosher fit, and he cooked it, this non-kosher fish, together with kosher meat. And then he quickly took out the non-kosher fish, but it had cooked together with the kosher meat. So you let it eat this or not. And Rabbi Yochanan paskin l'tamik feilarma. He said, give it to a non-Jewish chef. Let him taste it. And when he tastes it, then we'll know exactly what's tutzach. The bottom line is, it wasn't a case of gedish etzol b'chelvoy. It was a completely different case. It was a case where somebody had cooked non-kosher fish together with kosher meat. Oh, very good. We're going to talk about that. And what was Rabbi Yochanan's psak? Not koylev va'oichel ach drashashas kasha. Not koylev va'oichel ach magil lechelboy. But rather, his psak was letamek feil arma. Zoktigma, oh my rova, rova said. Mereish habakal kasha. I used to be very bothered with the following price. Hadda tanyik teo shabisha babas leiv ash b'cholov. If somebody has a flesh of kapat, don't cook milchigs in it. Then bishal, and if he did, benois in tam. So, then it's benois in tam. Meaning, he has to see if the flesh of kapat emitted any flavor into the dairy that you cooked inside. If it did, tam ke ikar. They rice it, the rabbanim, but it's a problem. If not, then it's going to be okay. Another halacha of the price that says truma, lo yivash b'chulin. If somebody has a pot, he's a kohen, and he cooks truma on a regular basis, you shouldn't cook chulin, if you're not a kohen, in a pot that truma was already cooked. If you're a kohen, that's not a problem. But let's say I'm not a kohen, and I want to make dinner in a pot that belongs to a kohen, where he had previously cooked truma in it. It's an issue. Because when I cook in the truma pot, a little bit of truma is going to emit into the food that I'm cooking, and there's going to be a taruvis of truma. As a zar, I'm not allowed to eat truma.
V'imbisha, let's say you do it, but nice and tam. You're supposed to taste it, see if it gives tam. So Rava said this always bothered me. This braisa always bothered me. What bothered Rava? Bishleima truma, tam l'kayin. I understand what we say, benois and tam, with regards to truma, I know what it means. What it means is you give it to a kayin, and you ask the kayin to taste it. If this truma, what's the problem? Kayin's allowed to taste truma anyways. So it's a very easy litmus test, a very easy way of knowing whether it's nice and tam or not. You find a haimashayid, a kayin, someone who's allowed to eat truma, a ela basav echalav man tamle, but basav echalav a nice and tam, who's going to taste it? How are you going to find you need someone to taste it. Who's going to taste it? You can't taste it because maybe it's nice and tam, and if it's nice and tam, it's us. Said Rav. Hash, Adam Rabbi Yechon, and some kin al kfeil arma. But now Rabbi Yechon said you can rely on a kfeil arma, that when it comes to tasting food, to determine whether something is nice and tam or not nice and tam, you're allowed to give the food even to a non-Jew. Ah, hachanami, some kin al kfeil arma. Then it's not a big deal. Says the Gemara, Adam Rav. In fact, Rav came and summarized the laws of Taruvos in a few lines. He said, Amar Rabbanan b'tayma. Sometimes the Rabbanan said that when you have a Taruvos of Isva Heter, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to determine whether or not it's nice in time. What are examples of that? Number one, the Brisa that Rava just mentioned. Kederi Shabisha Babasar, La Yavashu Bachala, Bim Bishel, Benois and Tam, our Mishnah. Yerach Shan Espash, Bal Gid Anosha, Niesh Bab Benois and Tam. So most times Chazal talk about the halachas of a Taruvos, it's the Heter, and they say, Asar Mutter, what does it depend on? Is it Nois and Tam or is it not Nois and Tam? Vam Rabbanan B'Kfeila. And then there are times where the Rabbanan said, give it to a non-Jew, a non-Jewish chef, that's what a kfeila is. Rashi says a nachtoim, like a baker, a chef. You give it to him to taste. Where did you find the Rabbanan say that? That was Rabbi Yechanan that we just mentioned. V'amar Rabbanan b'shishin. And sometimes you find shishin. Rashi says, b'perek basur, the mesechtes of Vaydazar, daf samach tes. Over there you find the laws of shishin. But bottom line says, Rabbi, which one is it? Is it benois and tam? Is it kfeila or is it shishin? Nice and tam sounds like you give it to a Jew to taste. Kfeila means you can even give it to a non-Jew to taste. And nice and shishim sounds like, just do the math. So which one is it? Said Rava. If the taruvus is two different meaning, where you could taste it, it's discernible, meaning the two things taste differently. Dehetera, and both ingredients are mutter. What does that mean? Issa v'hetta, we're both a mutter, such as truma and chulin. The truma's mutter, as long as you're a kayin. The chulin is mutter to everybody. So it's mimishene minoi. The truma and the chulin were not the same men. They're both mutter to someone, b'tayma. Then you find the yid, find the kayin, let him taste it. The isura, if it's min b'she'enei minoi, but this issa v'hetta, such as basa v'chalav, it's two different minim, and it's the isura, because a yid, in the event that it's nice and tam, is not allowed to eat from it, b'kveila. So then you find the non-Jew to taste it. Umin b'minoi. And if the taruva says min b'minoi, delek l'mek matayma, then nobody can taste it, because they taste the same. Inami. Or, if it's min b'she'enoi minoi, the isura velek k'kveila, and it just so happens that you don't have somebody to taste it, b'shishim. So then, as a default option, if you don't know what to do, then you're going to have shishim. So it sounds like there's three ways, three methodologies that we have as resources to determine whether something's nice in time or not. Give it to a yid to taste. Give it to a non-Jew to taste. Shishim. It sounds like the preference for sure from this Gemara is give it to a yid. Option B would be to give it to a non-Jew. Option C, by default, if you don't have a third, one of the first two had available, so now what you do is, then you can rely on shishim. Just one ha'ara. I mean, there's so much here. But just one ha'ara. So we mentioned over here, kfeil arma. You give it to a non-Jewish. What does that mean? You trust the non-Jew, right? Says Rashi on Amud Aleph, that Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. There's a few short Rashis on Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. Says Rashi, Tashmi Inon, that Mutal Lismay Chalulafitumay. Says Rashi, the only time you can trust a non-Jewish chef is if you don't tell him that you're relying on him. Once you tell him you're relying on him, then it's not so simple that you could trust him. So what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to do it Masiach Lefitumai. And as long as it's Masiach Lefitumai, meaning you don't tell him that, you know, we have a shayla, we're not sure, can we eat this, can we not eat this, do we have to throw this out, it's going to be a big hefset, you know, it's way too much information. What you have to do is you engage him in a conversation and you try to, in a subtle way, get from him whether or not this thing has the taste of the davar asr in it or not. But if you're going to ask him point blank and he's going to give you a point blank answer, then you can't trust them. So the only time he's believed is if it's Masirich Tevitumai. Taisa says just the opposite. Taisa says that the Gemara didn't say just go over to any Aral. What the Gemara said was go over to a Kfela. Go over to a professional. Why a professional? Why a chef? It's a Pasha. What do you mean? Because he has the palate that will be able to ascertain the 159th of Isser that there might be. He says, no, that's not what it is. What it is that you're going over to someone who does this for a living. He's a professional. And anytime you're dealing with a professional, there's always an umdana, there's an amanus, that a person is like mara unase. He's not going to tell you that you don't taste the davar aser. We really, you do taste the davar aser because it's bad for business. So therefore, you can trust him. It comes out Rashi and Tosfos are saying diametrically opposed pshatim. According to Rashi, the Shegetz is not allowed to know that you're relying on him. According to Tosfos, he has to know that you're relying on him. According to Rashi, if he knows you're relying on him, he's not believed. It has to be Masirich Levitumai. According to Tosfos, the reason we're trusting him is all because of an umdana. That if he knows you're relying, you're asking him a professional question, he's going to tell you the truth. Because as a professional, loy mara unase. If that's the case, he has to know you're relying on him. Because if he doesn't know you're relying on him, then you don't have the umdana of mara unase. One question that the Achrenim grapple with, the Poiskin, the Shach, the Taz, the Vilna Goy, and the Bir Agra, in the beginning of Simon Tzadik Ches, is the Gemara seems to say, the way Rashi learns it, oh, you know why you could trust the non-Jew? It's Masirich Lefitumai. What's the big deal? Is that true? So there's like a new concept that anytime you have a question, let's say in Hilchas Eidus, you want to know, can I trust the non-Jew or not trust the non-Jew? Oh, Masirich Lefitumai. It's a Rashi in Masechtes Chulin. Dav Tzadik Zayin Amar Aleph. It's a problem because the Gemara says in Masechtes Balakama, Dav Kuf Yudal Amad Beis, that the only time Masirich Lefitumai works is by Eidus Isha. The only time it works is by Eidus Isha. The only time it works is by Eidus Isha. This is not Eidus Isha. So what do you mean Masirich Lefitumai? I mean, there is a concept of Masirich Lefitumai. You go through, you know, tshuvas with regards to agunas, big shailas, Eidus Isha comes up all the time. But that's based on a Gemara. Sugis in the end of a Sachtes Yivamis and a Mefurish Gemara. Bava Kama 114b, where the Gemara says you can trust the Eidus of an Isha and a Katan when it comes to Eidus Isha. Albeit Masirich Lefitumai, but it's an Eidus Isha de Gehalacha. Where do you find anywhere this idea of Masirich Lefitumai in an eerie and halacha outside of Eidus Isha? That's what the Achrayim answer. The Achrayim give many truths in one teretz that the Achrayim say, which is very nice in lieu of the introduction that we spoke about, is that that's only on a Dairaisa level. So when it comes to Dine Dairaisa, then there's that the only time Masirich Lefitumai works is for Eidus Isha, Aguna, Ishasish, Mamzeris. So of course it's a Din Dairaisa. So there Masirich Lefitumai works, even for people that ordinarily we would not trust, because of the Chiddush of Eidus Isha. Mishum Iguna, Akilu Be'Rabban, there's a lot of coolers in Eidus Isha. But as it relates to a Din Derabbanan, or Din Derabbanan, there Masirich Lefitumai works even outside of Eidus Isha. And that too is a Gemara, Masechtes Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yudal Amud Beis. Rashi L'Shitasai, who holds that Tam Ke'ikar is always a question of a Derabbanan, it's never a question of Deiraisa. So really we're discussing a Taruva, it's a Vis of a Heter, but not a Taruva on a Deiraisa level, discussing a Taruva on a Derabbanan level. I mean, they're discussing Taruva on the Derabbanan level by Derabbanan. Masirich Lefitumai would work. There's other very important truths into this kasha. We'll have to say that for another day. Either way, another very Yisoidi Gemara. There's tons of Yisoidis. Hanu at Masa dem lichu b'Reish Geluso. There were Yidin in the house of the Reish Geluso. A lot of the stories that the Gemara brings went down in the house of the Reish Geluso. So somebody had salted the thigh of an animal and he didn't remove the Gidanosh. So he didn't cook it like the Mishnah. He didn't roast it like Shmuel's case. He salted it. What's the question? And they brought it in front of the Gedolim. They brought it to Ravina. Mamish Gedolim Yadar. Aser. Ravina says he can't eat it. Then they brought it to Rav Acha bar Rav. Take out the word Ashi. They brought it to Rav Acha bar Rav. Shari. He said it's mutter. Aser shalalu. Lamar bar Rav Ashi. Then they brought it to Mar bar Rav Ashi. Amaluhu. And he told him, Abba Shari, I have a psak from my father, Rav Ashi, where Rav Ashi said it was mutter. So you have Rav Acha bar Rav. And Rav Ashi, who held it was mutter, Ravina held it was aser. Amalei Rav Acha bar Rav the Ravina. So Rav Acha bar Rav told Ravina, "My daitech, why do you think it's aser?" He says, "Oh, I know why you think it's aser. The Amar Shmuel. You're basing it on something Shmuel said. What did Shmuel say? Another one of the more important memories in the sugyas of Taruva. Something that the Gemara is going to discuss in great detail in Perakol Abaser. Maliach harehu kiroseach kavush harehu kamavushal. If you salt Issa v'Heter together, we have to look at it as if you cooked or roasted Issa v'Heter together. The same chemical reaction that food has to cooking and roasting, food will have to salting. So if you have Issa v'Heter and you salt it, the halacha is you have to start worrying about shishim and k'dei klipas and k'dei netilas. The sugyas of chulin and taruvas are invoked when salt is a medium.
Because salt somehow has an ability to create bleas and platelets. There's even a discussion in the Rishonim if you're allowed to salt food on Shabbos. Maybe it's kibishol, it's kareisech. So Shmuel said like this, that when you salt food, it's as if you roasted the food. Kavosh, if you soak food in pickling spices, no heat. There's nothing hot. But you pickle it, it's as if you cooked it. In other words, you see Shmuel said, and now you went ahead and you salted the Gidan Asher together with the Yerech, so that's why you said it's Asher, Ravina. So Rav Acher Barav told Ravina, I know why you said it's Asher. Oh, it's because of Shmuel, right? Because Shmuel said, so if the Gidan Asher was salted together with the Yerech, so the salting constitutes Resicha, if it constitutes Resicha, thus you're going to have a problem. But what was the follow-up? This was all a setup. What Rav Acher Barav said, if you meant that Shmuel, then you forgot the other Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? Reseach means it's like tzli. It's as if they were roasted together. Shmuel himself said that if you roast the Yerech together with the Gidan Asher, you have to take off a Kedei Klipa and a Kedei Netila. But there's no halacha of Benois and Tam. And he continued, maybe when Shmuel said, he didn't mean it's like tzli, maybe he held it's like bishul. Oh, bishul, that's the Mishnah. Yerach Shem is bashul, we'll give that nosha, it's been nice and tam. But Rav Acher Barav said it can't be, because Shmuel said two things. Meliach is kareseach, kavush is kavushul. If you salt isavahata together, it's kareseach. If you pickle isavahata together, it's kimavushul. So what does it sound like? Kavush is kimavushul. B'chal dereseach is not mevoshel. Because if Meliach Harei Kereseach was also mevoshel, then Shmuel would use the same word mevoshel to describe what happens when you salt two foods together and to describe what happens when you pickle two foods together. From the fact that he used a different word, you see that only kavush is kimevoshel, mechal dereseach tzli kamar. So the bottom line is, Rav Acher Barav told Ravino, if you salt the Gid Hanasha together with the Yerech, I don't understand why it should be aser. Melicha, at worst, is kareseach. Reseach means reseach tzli. If you would roast, if you would do real tzli with the Yerech and the Gidan Asher, it wouldn't make the Yerech Asher. Like the Gemara said, if that's the case, why should salting the Yerech and the Gidan Asher be any worse? And the Gemara says, Kasha, Rab Chanina said, Kishem Misharin, when we assess Shishim, every time we assess Shishim, like in the Mishnah's case, you cook the Yerech together with the Gidan Asher, or Basa V'Cholav, or any time you have a Taruvah Issa V'Heter, where you cook the Issa V'Heter together, now we're trying to determine whether it was nice in time or not. And we're relying on Shishim. So how do you assess the Shishim? Misharin Beroitiv Ubekipa. We take the roitiv, that's the soup that it's cooking in, into consideration. Kippa, Rashi says, that's the little bit of meat and spices that go to the bottom of the pot. You take all the chatichos into consideration, all the kosher pieces of meat. Ubikteri, even take the pot into consideration. Ikadami, some say bikteri asman, some say the entire pot goes into the calculation. Vikadami, some say bimada bolakteri. You have to figure out, and Rashi says it's not easy to figure this out, but you have to figure out a way to calculate how much heter is absorbed in the walls of the Ketera, and that adds into the calculation of Shishin. Meaning, when we take the Ketera counts when we figure out Shishin. Why would the Ketera count? Because we assume that some of the Isser gets distributed into the Ketera. So if some of it gets distributed into the Ketera, there's no reason the Ketera shouldn't count as part of the Mevatel, as part of the Shishin. The question is it the entire Ketera? Meaning, what's the maximum volume that this pot can contain? And we're going to throw that into the heter side as far as the shishim goes? Or no? We have to try to figure out how much of the heter versus the iser, how much of the heter is in the walls of the kedera, and it's only the bliyos that are in the kedera that have the ability to count towards the shishim to be mevato, the davar aser. The Gemara says, Tupshatim. Ikadamri, some say the Kedera at the entire Kedera, the maximum volume of the Kedera is what counts. Vikadamri, you have to figure out Bamada Balu Kedera. It's only the amount of Blias that are in the Kedera. And again, it's only the Blias of Heter, not the Blias of Isser. Because if you cook Isser and Heter together, just like this Heter in the walls of the Kedera, there's going to be Isser also. The Isser counts towards the Isser, not towards the Heter. So it's not clear how practical this Tzad is. But the bottom line is, those are the Tupshatim that the Gemara gives. One more Gemara, and then we'll speak out some rate. That every time you assess Issa v'Heter, the way you look at it is you look at the Isser as if it's either onions or kaflut is leek. And you ask yourself, if this Isser was leek or onions and it was mixed together with this amount of meat, would it be nois in tam or would it not be nois in tam? Meaning you don't taste it. You don't even do shishim. This is what you do. You make believe it's batzel and kafel. Now Rashi says this is all before the Chachamim said shishim. Now that we have shishim, this is not true. Because we have shishim. But pre-shishim, right? Fire the krieg. Pre-shishim, this was the halacha. The halacha was you would look at the iser as if it's batzel or kaflet. And this is the way you assess it. Rabbi told Abayo, why onions and leek? Like, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, probably because that's like something really sharp. And we want to go to chumrah. We ask ourselves, if this was like the type of food that really knows how to be nice in time, is that the sharpest food though? Rabbi asked Abayo, v'lishan rinu bepoplin betavlin. Real spices, pepper, and the real sharp stuff. Why don't we take that? And by the way, you see in halacha that those things are so potent when it comes to being nice and tam, that feel the battle flame potelem. They never bottle. So why don't we take that? Amalei, he told them, Shiru Chachamim, they nice and tam, bistrum, yosem, batzel, makafel. Chachamim had this cloud that from all the things that are usher, there's nothing that has an ability to be nice and tam more than batzel and kaflut exhale. So we just learned a lot. And we went through a lot of Yesoidis as it relates to the halachas of this and the heter, but just one ha'ara. And that is, the Gemara had brought a story. There was a shiloh that was brought to Rabbi Yochanan. It took place in the Beis HaKnesses of Ma'ayin. And there were two versions of what the story was. The first version was, a gidi was roasted together with its chaylev, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, is it okay to eat the gdi, or is it not okay to eat the gdi? Rabbi Yochanan said, you could eat the gdi. The chaylev, you can't eat, obviously, but the gdi itself, you could eat. You have to remove a gdi, klipa, gdi, natila, but other than that, you're allowed to eat the gdi. And the Gemara thought it was a very big chiddush, because didn't the Gemara say, shani chaylev the mefafei? And the Gemara gave two explanations why this was different. But there was another version of what the story was. The second version was, kilchis be'ilfes ava. What happened was, somebody had a pot of kosher meat, and accidentally put non-kosher fish into this pot of kosher meat. And they brought right to Rabbi Yochanan. They asked him what the question was. Rabbi Yochanan told him that no Jew can taste this to determine whether or not you have a tam ke'ikr of the non-kosher fish. They removed the fish, obviously, but if whether any tam was left over. But at the same time, you can give it to a non-Jew. And Rava was very taken aback by that. He said, wow, I never realized that. He says, now I know pshat in this braisa. And Rava got very excited with this psak Rabbi Yochanan. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Yochanan's psak was, take the non-kosher fish out, and then give it to a non-Jewish chef. According to Rashi, you can't tell him that you need him. It has to be dafka masich levituma. According to him, it's just the opposite. He has to know you're relying on him. His license, his professional license is on the line. This way he's for sure going to tell you the truth. There's an amanus over here, even for Akum, which in and of itself is a chiddush. The bottom line is, that's the Gemara. But the Rashash asks Yehuda's Kasha. And that is that we know that Chazal say, Chamira sakanta meisura. And this halacha of Chamira sakanta meisura has halachic ramifications. The Gemara Masechtas Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, says as follows: Mar Bar Rav Ashi Yomar. So we had Mar Bar Rav Ashi just now in the Daf. Mar Bar Rav Ashi Yomar. Rav Ashi son Mar said, Afilu b'milcha nami asura. So this is in a context. The context is: are you allowed to eat meat and fish together? Said Rav Ashi, you cannot eat meat and fish together, even if you didn't add any milk there. There's no question of basa v'chalav. Everything is kosher, it's mahadrin, it's glat with a badatz hashkocha. All you did is you put some salt, kosher salt, it doesn't matter. Afilu b'milcha nami asura. Why? For two reasons. Number one, mishum dekasha l'recha. It's not good for your breath. It causes bad breath. But more importantly, u'ledavar acher, it can cause a person to have tzaras. In other words, this is sakonos. And said Ma'abar Avashi, a person's not allowed to eat meat and fish together. This is brought down in Halacha in Yerideya Simin Kufter Zayin. Mechaber says, Tzorech li zor shloi lecho basa v'dog b'yachad. A person has to be careful not to eat basa and dog together. V'bnei shekoshel tzaras, because it can cause a person tzaras. The Taz brings a big machloikas apoiskim. What would be if somebody cooked fish and meat together and he realized kosher, everything was kosher, and he removed the fish or he removed the meat, but at the same time it was nice and tam. So is there a halacha of a taruvais? Like, how do you look at this halacha, this one line of Masechtas Pesachim that has affected Jewish menus for millennia? This one line, that's the whole line. Mar Rav Ashi said, afilu b'milcha nami asur mishum dekasha l'recha u'ledavarach.
what happens when this line of Pesachim meets Hilchas Taruvos? How do you look at it? Says the Taz like this. If there's no Shishim of Hetta Kenegad Yisr, of course it's going to be a problem. I mean, you have a lach of Nois and Tam. And if Tam Ke'ikr is true when it comes to regular Issa of Hetta, it's going to be true when it comes to the lach of fish and meat together. Stating that, says the Taz, I'll tell you where it gets interesting. What happens if you do have Shishim? What happens if it's not Nois and Tam? What happens if you know for sure the Dabar Asr is not being Nois and Tam into the Dabar Mutter? Says the Taz, the Issa of Hetta brings from the Mardchai and the Urzarua. That said, then it's going to be mutter. Because just like Issa the Heter, if there's shisha, meaning it's not nois and tam, so the taruvah says mutter. So when it comes to fish and meat, this halach is going to be the same. Stating that, says the Taz, not everybody agrees with that. He says the Darkei Moshe holds not that way. Darkei Moshe is the Ramah. The Ramah said nishtazoi. The Ramah said that when it comes to fish and meat, there the halach is, even if it's not nois and tam, still it's going to be also. Isn't there a loch of shishim? We just said now. There's a concept of shishim. He says, yeah, that's when it's of a heter. But this is sakon. And the Gemara says, chulin daf yod, chamira sakanta, meisura. And the context over there is the Gemara says you can't go baser roiv when it comes to sakana, even though roiv always works. Yeah, but there's no roiv when it comes to chamir. Oh, so there's no roiv. There's no bittul b'roiv either. And if there's no bittul b'roiv, said the darkim. And he had a raya from the halachas of Mayim and Kulin. And this is fast. This is in the Taz. In Yerideus, in the Kuftez, Zion, in Mechabritz of Cotton Bays, and in Taz, it's Ois Bays. Bottom line, this is a big time machloikis apoiskim. Whether or not we say bittel when it comes to a taruvois of sakana, of fish and meat, freik der ashash, if that's the case, what's going on over here? Rav Huna, Ravin bar Ravada said, you know what the Maisa Shayikachai was with Rav Yechanan the Moin de Beniknishta? You know what happened over there? What happened over there was somebody had cooked fish, non kosher fish, together with meat. And he took it out. But there was a question now. Is the shishim, is it nois and tam, or is it not nois and tam? And he brought it to Rabbi Yochanan. And this is where Rabbi Yochanan issued his psak l'doros. His psak that you can trust the non-Jew. You can give it to Masich Levetumai, Lemarum Nasi, whatever. But the point is you can trust. But clearly, what were we trying to determine? We're trying to determine whether or not you taste the fish. L'chaira, forget about the non-kosher fish. Forget about the question of Issa v'Heter. Issa v'Heter, giving it l'tamik feil arma is going to work. But there's another problem. There's a zakana issue. You have ma'ar baravashi m'sechtes psochim dafayim vavam in beis. And when you're dealing with zakana, bittul b'roiv doesn't work like the Darkei Moshe. So freiter ashash, abom b'kasha. The light, the Darkei Moshe who holds that bittul never works when there's a question of sakana. Then what was this psak of Rabbi Yochanan l'tamik feila? L'chura, l'tamik feila will help you for the fact that the fish was non-kosher. For the Isser Veheter component, for the Malkus component. But the Sakana component is not going to help you for it. Says the Rashash, I believe that this Gemara is a Raya Nifla to a tremendous Chiddush that the Ran says in Mesach Tzavei Dezara. And that is that the only time there's a Sakana to eat fish and meat is if the fish and the meat are both kosher. However, the fish is non-kosher. Dogim tmeim, there's no sakana. Says the Rashash, this Gemara is a raya nifla. Being that we were dealing with non-kosher fish. Oh, it's non-kosher fish. Therefore, it's going to be a moot point. I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzionim Balacha, he brings a tshuva from the Chabina Goyen, the Chabina Rav, in David Meshar and Simon Lamites. It's a long tshuva. At the end of the tshuva, the Chabina Rav says that Sukhrani, I remember that I saw in the Sefer Shailos HaTshuvas Imreyesh. So the Shailos HaTshuvas Imreyesh was written by the Maram Ash. The Maram Ash was a Talmud Muvik of the Chasam Sofer. He's also our in-house Meyer Rosenberg's grandfather and namesake. So the Maram Ash, who was a Talmud Muvik of the Chasam Sofer, asked the Chasam Sofer this kasha once. He brings in his tshuva that he once asked the Rebbe this kasha, and the Chasam Sofer told him the same teretz. He told him, Ofenart, he said, it's a riot to the Ran, that the Ran says that it's only Dogim Torim, it's not Dogim Tmeim. And this was Dogim Tmeim, as I state in Rashi, that was the case over here, and mean that it was Dogim Tmeim, it's for that reason it's not going to be an issue. But that tshuva of the Chavina Rav is a fascinating tshuva. The original shaila that was asked him was as follows. There was a woman, she's making Shabbos, it's Erev Shabbos, and there's a lot of pots on the stove, and it's a big tumult, you know, the kids, everything is, it's wild. It's 2 hours before Shabbos. And she had her chicken soup cooking, and she had her water that was boiling. She was had her gefilte fish in her hand. She wanted to put the gefilte fish into the hot water. By mistake, she dropped it into the chicken soup. She cooked it together with the chicken. The question was, and she quickly took it out. It sat there, I don't know, a half hour. And the Shiloh was, are you allowed to eat it? Or are you not allowed to eat it? And she sent the Shiloh to her local rabbi. And the local rabbi came up with a cheshbin. He wanted to say it's mutter. He said, why is it mutter? He had a svek sveka. Bottom line is, this Rav sent the Shiloh to the Tzavina Rav. It's a nice Shiloh. So he said, I'm assuming this is already after Shabbos. I can't imagine this all happened right before Shabbos. So he sent the Shiloh to the Tzavina Rav. And he asked the Tzavina Rav, what was the halacha? So Tzavina Rav said like this. As it relates to Svek Sveka is a mistake. Because could you rely on Svek Sveka when it comes to Sakana? If you can't rely on Rav, and the Dr. Moshe says you can't rely on Bittel B'Rav, it's not so posh you could rely on Svek Sveka. Now the truth is, in the Daf, we spoke at a festa truth from the Minchas Aluza. We didn't speak it out once, we spoke it out twice. In the beginning of the Masechta about Svek Sveka with a Prima God and with Katlanis, festerate. But the bottom line, it's not posh you could rely on a Svek Sveka either. So the question was, is it going to be okay or is it not going to be okay? See, he said two Ha'aras, and we have time for one. The one that we have our time for, as he said, is a rule in Shas. It's called Shomer Mitzvah. Lo yeda dovara. What does that mean? That if a person is doing a mitzvah, he has nothing to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about questions of Isavah Hether. He doesn't have to worry about questions of Sakana. Said that Shabina Rav, this woman was cooking for Shabbos. The Heilig is Shabbos. This is a Shiloh of Kavod Shabbos. Oh, it's a Shiloh of Kavod Shabbos. So he said, Shomer Mitzvah lo yeda dovara. You have nothing to worry about. That was his psalm. So he said, because Shomer Mitzvah lo yeda dovara, everything was going to be okay. So I'll just tell you one ha'ara. I found in the Shiloh Sechuvah's Ner Lamar. So the Shiloh Sechuvah's Ner Lamar was written by Rav Martchel Eliyahu Rabinowitz. He was one of the Polish Gedolim who lived before World War I. He was Nifter in 1911. And he discussed a similar Shiloh, not a case of chicken soup, but he discussed a similar Shiloh of Shomer Mitzvah L'Yeda Davara when it comes to a question of Sakana and Halacha. Meaning, Chamira Sakanta Misura. But B'Makim Mitzvah, there's a Shmira, there's a Skula. The Skula is called Shomer Mitzvah, you're doing a Mitzvah, L'Yeda Davara. He brings that the Noida Behuda wrote a Tshuva about a Katlan. This is a big Shiloh, Chav Tzvi spoke about this, where the Gedolei HaPoskim discuss if a Katlanis is allowed to do Yibam. Right, so when you learn Masechtas Yevamos, there's a lot, it emerges with Katlanis, right? So is a Katlanis allowed to do Yibam? Is it okay? Ordinarily, a woman that was married twice or three times, Rebbe or Shimon Gamliel, is not like a married again. Why not? Because she's a Katlanis. What about in the context of Yibam? So Yehuda just said that Shomer Mitzvah L'Yeda Davara, it's a Tshuva and Evan Ezer Madura Kama Simen Yud, where he said Shomer Mitzvah L'Yeda Davara, and as a result, it's okay for a Katlanis to get married. L'maisa, Remart Chalio Rabinovich took umbrage to this psak. He said it's not pashut at all. The Yehuda talks about Yudin Tamar. Excellent. But he said that's mama. The whole truth is about Yudin Tamar. But anyway, he says like this, just one ha'ar, and we're gonna end with this. He says that this Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Zok the Gemara, Amar Rab Chinano Bar Idi. Kol Oisem Mitzvah Kimamara. If someone does a mitzvah, Kimamara, Ein Mevasra Nois Bsuras Rois. Doesn't hear Bsuras Rois. Shenema Shomer Mitzvah. He won't be informed of any davar. So someone who does a mitzvah kimamara, ain mevasrinois absurus, right? And the Gemara brings this pasuk. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. Because the shomer mitzvah yeda davar. The Marsha on this Gemara in Chedushei Agadas, he's bothered with this lashon. Kaloisa mitzvah kimamara. What is kimamara? Kaloisa mitzvah. Kaloisa mitzvah kimamara. So he says a davar nifla. He says that the word mitzvah is mem tzadik vav he. Mem tzadik, if you flip it with at bash, is yud and he. Which means that the word mitzvah with at bash on the first two letters, the mem and the tzadik become a yud and a he. Then you have the vav he, those are the last two words of the word mitzvah, make up the shem havaya. Says the Marsha, you know what the Gemara means? Kaloisa mitzvah kimamara. If someone does a mitzvah and his kavana is mamara, the word mitzvah has in it the shem havaya, mem tzadik with ad bash, and then you have the vavheh. So kaloisa mitzvah l'shem shamayim, he has in mind 100% l'shma. Dear, the halacha is shomer mitzvah l'yeda davara, eim evasru noisai besura esrois. But michlal lavat hashemeya hein said the ner lamar. It sounds like from this Marsha that it's only if you oisa mitzvah kimamara. But if you don't do a kimamara, it's going to be a problem. He says that everybody knows Abishol. Who's Abishol? Of Yevamah's fame. Abishol said, we stopped, we don't do Yibum today. Abishol stopped Yibum. The reason he stopped, he said, Karavani Loimer, Avlad Mamzer. He said, because the only time Yibum works is if you're Mechavim with Shem Mitzvah. And if you don't have a Kavanah Mitzvah, then you're getting involved in Eshesach, which means you're getting involved in Mamzer, you're getting involved in very bad things. So said Abishol, we don't do Yibum anymore because I'm worried about Avlad Mamzer. And even the Rabbanim that argue with Abishol,
They're not arguing with the Metzius. Everybody agreed that there's a tzadik. Rabbi Shaul was saying something that made sense. That beer, taiva, lav dafka, you're going to have a mind mitzvah. And if you're not going to have a mind mitzvah, so there's an issue of mamzerus. The Rabbanan thing, no, don't do a mamzerus. Mitzvah, srichas kavana, ain't srichas kavana. This is all the raid and Rabbi Chanan Kavitzaris and all the Rishayim in the beginning of Paragabal Yavimtai. But forget about all that raid. Practically speaking, there's a good chance that when a person does yibum, he's not going to be mechavim l'shem mitzvah. If he's not going to be mechavim l'shem mitzvah, he's not a oisem mitzvah kemamara. He says, I don't know if you have the rule of shem mitzvah l'yeh d'davara. Shem mitzvah l'yeh d'davara, that you only have if you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. But if you're not doing it l'shem mitzvah, not. So he said to go ahead and paskin and allow a person to go into a matzav of sakana based on shem mitzvah l'yeh d'davara. This marsha makes it not so simple. It has to be kemamara, mem tzadik, at bashes, which is yud hey, and then the vav kei. Otherwise, not l'maisa. He was mechal between mitzvahs, tivyos, I'm sorry, sakonos, tivyos, and sakonos that are not tivyos, meaning there are certain sakonos that are real sakonos. Can't walk on a, right, go on a tightrope and say, shomer mitzvah l'yeh d'davarah, because you're on your way to do exactly, right, to go do a mitzvah. But, you know, eating fish and meat, so you have to know, is that a sakona tivy, is that not a sakona tivy? Either way, fascinating raid. Tshuva from the Chabina Rav, a tshuva from a Marcha Leo Rabinovich. There's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. It's Simon Kuf Aleph. That's a Chassam Sofer 101 that we're leaving on the table. And maybe if we have time somewhere in the next few weeks, we'll come back to this.